Welcome back, everyone. We're diving into a topic today that a lot of you have been asking about: Christianity and climate action. You sent in this really interesting article from Christian Culture News, and it really got me thinking about how religion and environmentalism kind of come together.
Yeah, it's definitely a hot topic these days. And what's really fascinating to me is that the article kind of digs into how this connection isn't exactly new. It goes way
Okay,
back.
so we're not just talking about like the recent, go green movement.
Right. Like the article traces these ideas all the way back to like the very beginnings of Christian thought. And it looks at how perspectives have, well, kind of shifted over time.
Okay, so let's start there then. Like historically, how have Christians viewed the environment?
Well, you often hear about that concept of dominion over nature, that idea that God gave humans, like the right to rule over the earth.
And the article even brings up that passage in Genesis 1:28 where it says, "Fill the earth and subdue it."
Exactly. And that's what's got people talking, right? Like, has that idea of dominion been, well, maybe misused to justify exploiting the planet?
That's a good point. It makes you think about how certain interpretations can have, big consequences.
Yeah, and that's where this whole idea of stewardship comes in. It's like instead of ruling over nature, we're called to be responsible caretakers.
Okay, so I'm hearing dominion versus stewardship. Like, those are the two big ideas here.
Yeah, you could say that. And what's interesting is that both ideas are kind of rooted in scripture. It's just a matter of which passages are emphasized.
Oh, so it's not like one is right and one is wrong. It's more like different interpretations.
Exactly. It's a matter of how you understand, well, like what God's intention was for humanity and nature.
So if we're talking about stewardship, what does that look like in practice? Like, are there specific examples of that in the Bible?
Well, yeah, the article points to passages like Psalm 24:1, which says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." It's kind of suggesting that we're accountable to a higher power for how we treat the planet.
Okay, so it's not just our planet to do with whatever we want.
Right. It's more like we're borrowing it, and we need to take care of it for future generations.
That makes a lot of sense. So the shift from dominion to stewardship, it feels like, well, like it's changing how some Christians are approaching environmental issues today.
Definitely. And, the article points to some pretty interesting movements that have sprung up because of this shift in thinking.
Like what?
Well, have you ever heard of the Green Church movement?
I think so, but I'm not totally sure. It's like church is going green, right?
Yeah, but it goes way beyond that. Like it's not just about recycling and like, turning off the lights. It's a whole way of thinking about how churches can embrace sustainability and like all aspects of their operations and community life.
Okay, so we're talking big changes here, not just small tweaks.
Right. Like we're talking solar panels on church roofs, energy efficient retrofits, community gardens, even things like ethical investing. It's about putting, putting their faith into action in a really tangible way.
Wow. I'm starting to see how powerful this could be if if every church got on board.
Right. And you know what else is really interesting? This rise of what they call evangelical environmentalism.
Oh yeah, I read about that in the article. It seems kind of, well, surprising at first glance.
I know, it's not something you typically associate with evangelicals, right?
Yeah, I mean, they've often been portrayed as being, well, maybe less focused on environmental issues.
Right. But this movement is like really challenging those assumptions. They're framing climate action as a core aspect of their faith, and they're drawing heavily on biblical teachings about caring for God's creation.
So how are they doing that? Like, what are their arguments?
Well, they're basically saying that, God entrusted us with this planet, and we have a moral obligation to take care of it. It's a matter of obedience and stewardship.
That makes sense. It's about connecting their deeply held beliefs to their actions.
Exactly. And, groups like the Evangelical Environmental Network, they've been incredibly influential in mobilizing evangelicals around this issue.
Yeah, their Creation Care initiative really stood out to me in the article. It's like they're taking this message of stewardship and making it really accessible.
Absolutely. And it's not just about preaching to the choir, They're also engaging with policymakers and advocating for policy changes to address climate change at a national level.
So they're really taking a multi-pronged approach.
Definitely. They're working on multiple fronts to like bring about real change.
That's impressive. It sounds like they're not just talking the talk, they're walking the walk.
Exactly. And you know what else is really encouraging? It's not just happening within specific denominations.
Oh, you mean like there are interfaith collaborations happening too?
Yeah, Yeah, like the article mentions green faith as a great example.
Right. I remember that.
They're bringing together leaders from all sorts of religious backgrounds to advocate for climate action. You know, like they're building these really cool interfaith coalitions.
It's awesome to see those kinds of collaborations happening. It
Yeah.
shows that this issue can transcend religious boundaries.
Exactly. It's a reminder that we're all in this together, right? Like the planet doesn't care what religion you are, climate change affects us all.
That's such a powerful point. So we've got this theological shift towards stewardship. We've got these really interesting movements gaining momentum, and we've got interfaith collaboration starting to take root. But the article also mentions some pushback, right? Like, not everyone in the Christian community is on board with this whole climate action thing.
Yeah, that's true. It's not all sunshine and roses, you know. There are definitely some disagreements and tensions within the Christian community when it comes to climate change.
So, like, what are we talking about here? Is it like a major rift, or are we talking more like nuanced disagreements?
It's more nuanced than a simple rift, I'd say. The article points to a few different things, like, for starters, there are those differing interpretations of scripture that we talked about.
Right. Like a whole dominion versus stewardship debate.
Exactly. And, you know, some Christians, they prioritize other aspects of their faith, and they may not see climate action as being like a top priority.
I can see how that could happen. Like, there are so many issues that churches are dealing with. It's hard to focus on everything at once.
Right. And, you know, on top of that, there's also a degree of skepticism surrounding climate science within some Christian circles.
Oh, yeah, the article mentions that. Like, some people attribute climate change to natural cycles rather than human activity.
Exactly. And then there are those who believe that, you know, God is ultimately in control and he'll intervene to protect his creation.
So it's a mix of theological and scientific perspectives, really.
Yeah, it's a complex issue for sure. And, you know, on a practical level, some churches might just be hesitant to, like, invest in expensive green initiatives.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like, if a church is struggling to keep the lights on, they might not have the resources to install solar panels or whatever.
Right, exactly. So, you know, it's not a simple issue. There are a lot of factors at play here.
It sounds like finding common ground in these conversations would require, well, a lot of patience and understanding.
Yeah, for sure. It's not about like forcing everyone to agree. It's more about creating spaces where people can respectfully explore different perspectives and find ways to, you know, to connect their faith with their concern for the environment.
That makes a lot of sense. It's about building bridges, not walls.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that we're all on the same team, even if we have different approaches.
Speaking of different approaches, I'm really curious about the tangible impact of these Christian climate action efforts. Like, are we seeing real-world results?
Oh, absolutely. The article highlights some incredible case studies that demonstrate like the real-world impact of these movements.
Oh, cool. Can you give us some examples? Like, what are churches actually doing?
Well, take the Green Church movement, for instance.
Okay, yeah. They're the ones who are like really going all in on sustainability.
Exactly. And they're not just talking about it, they're actually doing it.
Like, what kinds of things are they doing? Give me some specifics.
Okay, so the article mentions churches installing solar panels on their roofs. They're reducing their energy consumption through like energy efficient retrofits. Some are even creating community gardens to promote, you know, sustainable food practices.
Wow, those are some pretty concrete steps. It's cool to see that they're putting those stewardship principles into practice.
Right. And it's not just about reducing their own environmental footprint. They're also using their platforms to advocate for broader systemic change.
Oh, that's interesting. So it's like a two-pronged approach, individual action and systemic change.
Exactly. And it's not just limited to like environmental issues. They're also connecting it to social justice concerns.
Oh, how so?
Well, they're pointing out that, you know, the impacts of climate change are often felt most acutely by vulnerable communities, the poor, the marginalized, those who have contributed the least to the problem.
Right, it's like an issue of environmental justice.
Exactly. And, you know, the article highlights the Evangelical Environmental Network's Creation Care initiative as being really successful in raising awareness about this connection between climate change and social justice.
Yeah, I was really struck by that. It's like they're framing it as an issue that goes beyond just saving the planet.
Yeah.
It's about protecting people who are most at risk.
Exactly. It's about living out their Christian values of compassion and justice and recognizing the interconnectedness of all creation.
That's really powerful. Are there any other examples that stand out to you?
Oh, yeah, there are tons. But one that I thought was really cool was the work of Faith and Place in Illinois.
What are they doing?
So they're not just working within their own congregations. You know, they're actually going out and facilitating partnerships between churches and local environmental groups.
Oh, wow. So they're like building bridges between the faith community and the secular environmental movement.
Exactly. And they're doing it in a way that's really effective. Like, they're helping churches to implement energy efficiency measures.
Mm-hmm.
They're promoting community composting initiatives, all sorts of cool stuff.
It sounds like they're becoming catalysts for change, bringing together diverse stakeholders to address this common challenge.
Absolutely. And it really highlights the potential for faith communities to be, you know, powerful forces for good in the fight against climate change.
It's inspiring to see that kind of collaboration happening. But as we've discussed, there are also these internal challenges, right? Like disagreements and skepticism within the Christian community.
Right. It's not always a smooth journey.
So how are Christian climate activists navigating those challenges? Like, what are they doing to address those internal tensions?
Well, the article suggests that, you know, it all starts with respectful dialogue. It's about creating spaces where people can express their concerns and grapple with different viewpoints without feeling judged or attacked. It's about, you know, really listening to each other and trying to understand where those disagreements are coming from.
It's like remembering they're all on the same team, even if they have different approaches.
Exactly. And it's about finding that common ground, you know, like highlighting the values that unite them rather than the things that divide them.
It makes me think about something else the article touched on. Those interfaith collaborations.
Oh, yeah. Those are amazing.
It seems like when you have different faith communities coming together to advocate for climate action, it kind of sends a really powerful message, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It's like it transcends those religious boundaries and shows that this is a shared concern for all of humanity, you know?
Right. It's a reminder that we're all interconnected.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you know what's really cool? The article mentions that a lot of these interfaith collaborations, they're not just happening at, like, a national or international level.
Oh, so it's not just like big organizations like Green Faith.
Right. There are tons of examples of like local congregations from different faiths coming together to do things like, you know, tree planting or river cleanups.
Oh, wow. So it's happening at the grassroots level too.
Yeah. And they're also organizing educational workshops on environmental issues, bringing people together to learn and discuss these things from, you know, a multi-faith perspective.
That's fantastic. It's like building a united front from the ground up.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that we all have a stake in this.
So we've talked a lot about like actions and initiatives, but the article also gets into some of the theological and philosophical ideas that are driving this whole Christian climate action movement, right?
Yeah, and that's actually one of the things that I found most fascinating about the article.
Oh, yeah. What specifically?
Well, it talks about this field of study called ecological theology.
Ecological theology. Okay, that sounds intriguing, but I'm not sure I totally get it.
Yeah, it's kind of a mouthful, right?
Yeah.
But basically, it's this whole area of theology that explores the relationship between, you know, religious beliefs and environmental concerns.
So it's not just saying, like, we should care for the environment because God created it.
Right. It goes deeper than that. It asks questions like, you know, how are all living things interconnected? What is humanity's role in the web of life? What are the ethical implications of our actions on the planet?
So it's about understanding our place in the natural world in a more holistic way.
Exactly. And it's attracting a lot of interest, especially among younger generations.
That makes sense. Yeah. They're the ones who are going to inherit this planet, so they have a big stake in this.
Right. And they're looking for ways to connect their faith with their activism. And ecological theology kind of provides that framework, you know?
Yeah, I could see that.
And, you know, the article also talks about how churches and religious organizations, they need to do more to engage younger generations in this whole climate action movement.
Like, what are some of the things they're suggesting?
Well, they talk about creating, like, climate-focused youth groups, organizing service projects that address environmental concerns, partnering with secular environmental organizations that, you know, resonate with younger demographics.
It's like meeting them where they are and giving them opportunities to put their faith into action.
Exactly. And, you know, they also talk about the importance of using social media and technology to reach out to younger generations.
Oh, yeah, that's huge. Those platforms can be really powerful tools for spreading awareness.
Totally. And for mobilizing support for climate action.
Like,
it's a whole new way of doing ministry.
Yeah. It's like taking the message beyond the walls of the church.
Exactly. It's about engaging with the world in a new way.
So we've covered a lot of ground here. Historical shifts, theological frameworks, inspiring movements, ongoing challenges, potential solutions. As we look to the future, what are some key takeaways for our listeners?
Well, I think one of the biggest takeaways is that the Christian response to climate change, it's dynamic and evolving. You know?
It's not just one static viewpoint.
Right. There's a whole spectrum of perspectives and interpretations within the Christian community.
It's a conversation, not a monologue.
Exactly. And it's a conversation that needs to continue.
Especially given the urgency of the situation, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
The science is clear, climate change is real, and it's happening now.
Yeah.
And we're already seeing the devastating consequences, both for humanity and for the natural world.
And those consequences are often felt most acutely by those who are least responsible.
Exactly. It's a matter of justice, you know?
It's about recognizing that we're all connected and that our actions have an impact on others.
Right. And I think that's where the Christian values of compassion, justice, and care for the poor, they really come into play.
It's about living out our faith in a way that honors both God and creation.
Exactly. And I think the article really leaves us with a powerful call to action.
I agree. It's not enough to just sit on the sidelines. We have to get involved. But with so many different perspectives and approaches, it can be hard to know where to start.
That's true. So here's a question for you. What do you think is the most effective way for faith communities to contribute to climate action?
That's a good question. I think it's got to be a multifaceted approach, right?
I think so, too.
Like, it starts with education. We need to help people understand the science of climate change, the theological arguments for environmental stewardship, the real-world impacts of this issue.
Yeah, absolutely. Knowledge is power, as they say.
And then once people have that understanding, it needs to be translated into action, right?
Right. And that action can take many forms. You know, it can be individual actions, like reducing our own carbon footprint or supporting eco-friendly businesses.
Or it can be collective action, like working to change policies or supporting organizations that are fighting for climate justice.
Exactly. It's got to be both individual and collective.
It's about changing our own habits and working to change the systems that got us into this mess in the first place.
Right. And it's not just about what we do, but how we do it. You know?
What do you mean by that?
Well, the article emphasizes the importance of approaching this work with humility, recognizing that we don't have all the answers.
That's a good point. It's easy to get caught up in our own righteousness.
Exactly. So it's about being open to dialogue, learning from others, and working together in a spirit of cooperation.
It's about remembering that we're all in this together and that we need each other's support.
Exactly.
And it's about recognizing that this is a long-term commitment. It's not something that we can just fix overnight. It's going to take sustained effort over many years.
Yeah, for sure. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Exactly. And I think the article offers a lot of hope, you know?
I agree.
It shows that there are already so many people who are working to make a difference.
Yeah, and their stories are really inspiring.
They're proof that change is possible.
Absolutely.
Right.
And, you know, even though we've been talking about, like, the challenges and the complexity to this issue, I actually feel really hopeful after reading this article.
Me too. It's like, it's given me a renewed sense of optimism, you know?
Yeah, it's like a reminder that even in the face of a seemingly insurmountable problem, humanity can come together and find solutions.
And that faith can be a powerful motivator for action.
Absolutely. It's like it gives us that extra push, that extra motivation to keep fighting for a better world.
It's about aligning our values with our actions and using our faith as a guidepost.
Exactly. And I think that's a really powerful message to end on.
I agree. It's about recognizing that we all have a role to play in this and that even small actions can make a difference.
Exactly. So to our listeners out there, don't underestimate the power of your own actions. Get involved, speak up, and keep fighting for the future you want to see.
And remember, you're not alone in this. There are countless others who share your concerns and who are working to make a difference. So keep learning, keep connecting, and keep the faith.
Amen to that.
It feels like, well, like we could talk about this for hours. There's just so much to unpack when it comes to Christianity and climate action.
Yeah, it's a really rich and complex topic, that's for sure.
But even though we've only scratched the surface, I think it's clear that there's a lot of potential for positive change within the Christian community.
Absolutely. And I think what's most encouraging is that it's not just talk. You know, the article highlights so many examples of churches and individuals who are actually taking action and making a real difference.
Yeah, like it's one thing to talk about stewardship and caring for God's creation, but it's another thing to actually put those principles into practice.
Exactly. And I think that's what's so inspiring about these stories, you know. They're showing us that it's possible to live out our faith in a way that's both meaningful and impactful.
And it's not just about, like, grand gestures or sweeping policy changes, right? The article also talks about the importance of individual choices and actions.
Yeah, absolutely. Like even small things like reducing our energy consumption, recycling, supporting eco-friendly businesses, those things all add up.
It's like it's easy to feel overwhelmed by the scale of the climate crisis.
I know, right? It can feel like, what can one person do?
Yeah, but the article reminds us that every action counts. It's like that ripple effect, you know?
Exactly. One small action can inspire others to take action, and those actions can create a wave of change.
It's like we each have a responsibility to be part of the solution.
And I think that's where faith can play a really important role.
Oh, yeah. How so?
Well, it can give us that sense of purpose, that motivation to keep going, even when things feel tough.
Like, it's not just about saving the planet for our own sake. It's about being good stewards of God's creation.
Exactly. It's about honoring the gift that we've been given.
And it's about recognizing that our actions have consequences, not just for ourselves, but for future generations and for all of creation.
Right. It's about taking a long-term perspective and thinking about the legacy we're leaving behind.
It's a lot to think about, that's for sure.
It is. But, you know, even though there are challenges and disagreements, I feel like there's a lot of hope and momentum in this space.
Yeah, me too. Like, reading this article and hearing about all these amazing people who are working to make a difference, it gives me a sense of, well, like, a sense of optimism.
I know, right? It's like, even though this situation is serious, we're not powerless.
We can all do something, even if it's just starting a conversation or educating ourselves.
Exactly. And I think that's the key, you know, staying informed, staying engaged, and staying hopeful.
And remembering that we're all in this together. So to our listeners out there, we hope this deep dive has given you some food for thought. We encourage you to continue exploring this topic, to find ways to get involved, and to remember that even small actions can make a big difference.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's keep the conversation going, and let's keep working towards a more sustainable and just future.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, everyone. We'll see you next time.